everybody. It's the 40-ounce pimp. And if you don't like Strange Label and Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks, you're clearly missing out on the fucking hit best radio show on the market.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
How's it going?
And via Skype, nobody.
Not a person.
Nobody is on the Skype.
I feel rather lonely right now. I used to have friends.
I know, right? And Drunk, I guess, will be here in a little while. We'll also be joined in a little bit by Jarrett Reddick, the singer, songwriter, guitarist of the band Bowling for Soup.
Excellent band, by the way.
Who has a podcast that you can listen to. We'll be talking to him in a little bit. But we have a hell of a show for you tonight.
I hope so.
There's so much going on that I want to tell you about, I guess. You know, this is 5 days away from our 6-year anniversary of podcasting together.
Isn't that magical?
It's a special time, right?
In that 6 years, how many followers do we have?
Not many. But you know, we don't do it for the accolades. We do it for the love of it, right?
It shows.
Our passion for broadcasting is what keeps us together week after week.
Maybe we should be like shameless self-promoters and just like go whole hog with it.
My theory all along has been, Napier, if we continue to do great programming week after week, people are going to spread the word themselves.
Excellent. When are we going to start?
I mean, it's got to be soon, right? You get to a point where your content is king, and not your hoary publicizing of it.
I'm sure
because,
it helps,
because I think that, you know, people see through the hoary publicizing, and they may come and listen for a week, but you keep bringing them back over and over again by delivering the goods.
Is that what we need? We need more goods.
The goods, Napier. That's what we need.
Well, what happened to all of our bits that we used to do?
I want to tell you, and I saw this, the guy from Hot Butter Podcast, me and him recently became friends on Facebook. You know, when someone from the podcast world friends me on Facebook, like, there's that period of time where it sits and I kind of look at it and say, are me and this person really friends? You know, I'm a bit neurotic. I don't know if you know that about me.
No, just a little bit.
But I tend to overthink things, like, a great deal. And one of those things is Facebook friend requests. I never just accept a Facebook friend request. I have, like, this inner conversation with myself about what Facebook friendship means.
But that's the show's Facebook account.
No. This was me personally.
Oh, that, yeah, I can.
And I look at it and I say, what does this friendship mean to me?
Well, Facebook friends
like,
are meaningless.
Once we've gone beyond the facade of our podcast Twitter friendship and become true friends on Facebook. You know what I mean? You do that, right?
I used to do it more.
Do you play like the nightclub bouncer with your Facebook and say, do I want this person into my world?
Well, I don't really get on Facebook that often, so.
But anyway, Hot Butter Podcast guy and me are now friends on Facebook. And he posted a link earlier today that I followed, and it led me to a new product that they're offering called the Baby Pod.
The Baby Pod?
Yes.
You put your baby in a pod and then it dies?
The Baby Pod is like a, you know, it's like a external speaker that you, you know, plug into your auxiliary port of like your music device or pod, iPod thing. And then you jam it up your WHO. And it's for pregnant ladies to play unmuffled music for their children.
Oh, it's muffled because of their muff.
It's muffled because, like, you're putting headphones on, like, your stomach. And, like, they're listening to it through, like, the wall of your body. And this sends the sound waves directly up your fallopian tubes. I mean, I'm not a gynecologist. I don't know the technical terms. You know what I mean? Like, up the canal there.
Yeah, that's fucking horrifying.
To the baby ears. And so on this link, it was great. Great because they all have it in there. There was like a concert where like maybe a couple hundred pregnant ladies all jammed these speakers into their WHOs, and this woman went up and sang for all of their babies.
That sounds so absolutely horrifying.
All sitting in the audience with speakers jammed up.
So is this like thing. A real concert hall?
Yes, yes. This was like a actual, I don't know if it was necessarily like a concert hall. It looked from the video like a college classroom or something. You know what I mean? Where there's seats and like kind of, it's not like a huge place. I mean, I don't think you could sell out a concert just with pregnant gals.
God, that fucking place must have smelled great.
I don't know. What would the chair situation be like there? I mean, do they, maybe they all had like those wax paper things that like you put on public toilet seats.
I would request that. Like as a student going to that college, I would request that they put that on all the chairs or else I won't sit in any of those rows.
But that is a pretty terrible idea. We can agree it's a terrible idea.
Yes.
But would it sell? Probably.
Yeah, somebody had to like put money in for it.
Probably. See, because I think that like there's certain like groups of people that are more susceptible to buy stupid shit.
Pregnant
women are probably one of those groups, like because you know they're constantly reminded that they have like a thing living in them, and they want to like do things for it.
Yeah, but there's nothing you can do. I mean,
wouldn't that feel weird?
Maybe
to
it's
have
a
like
sexual
a thing.
Thing
in you.
Well, I mean, ladies like, get things in them all the time. That's how they got pregnant.
Moving around,
penis. Yeah, I guess that'd be different than a speaker. How do you get the little, like, there's got to be, like, little holes for the sound to come out of? How do those not get clogged with scood?
Have you ever, like, put, like, a speaker, like, in your mouth and, like, closed your mouth? I do it with my phone sometimes. Like Richie Sambora used to put that hose in it. Or Peter Frampton did it a lot, too. Like, he had the hose going into his mouth, like, from his guitar. He'd make a wow, 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 wow. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I do that sometimes with music and my phone. I make the Bon Jovi sounds in my mouth, like, with music.
Why?
I don't know. I just find it fun to do sometimes. Like, I'm listening to a song, and I'm just going, wow, 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 while I'm listening to the song so that it does the Peter Frampton thing.
That sounds weird.
You think that's weird?
Yeah, thanks for sharing it with me.
I don't know. It's just a thing I do. I am fascinated with the Baby Pod. I wish that like when an idea like that comes out, there was like sales figures that were released so you could, because I mean, I don't care about the product. I just want to know how many people buy it.
Well, think about it. There has to be a company behind it and they have to have meetings on it. There are people probably right now somewhere in the world, gathered around an office building or, you know, in a little conference room, talking about the speakers that people
put. Do you wash it?
You have to. I mean, you can't just not wash it, right? Ladies wash their little dildos. They can't, like, just leave it get nasty.
I mean, but it's like a speaker. So how do you protect the speaker when you wash it?
Condom?
But then if you wore a condom, then it would disrupt the sound.
Well, then, I guess we have a design flaw.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, you're right. You'd have to wash it. Do you just take, like, a antibacterial wipe and, like, do your best on the outside of it?
Yeah, it's plastic. I mean, there's probably not too much that can grow on it.
You had a invention that you were pitching to me and Travis on our Facebook group the other day. You had, like, a game that you wanted to invent?
Yeah, like a hooker and stripper trading card game.
So, like, I remember when we went to Las Vegas and the Mexican guys, they would clap at you and then they would, like, jam a hooker card in your hand.
Yeah, but
like,
those were playing cards. Yeah, but those were, like, playing cards. I'm talking about, like, you ever played Magic or the WoW trading card game or?
No.
None of those, even Pokemon?
No.
Well, a lot of people do, and the lot of people in this room is mean and not you.
Right.
But it would be fun.
You were of the Wii.
Yeah, I was.
Whereas I am not.
I think it would be fun. It would have, like, you know how those fucking games, they have pictures of broads and they're scantily clad and they have, like, armor just around their nipples and nowhere else. Why don't you just say, fuck it, now you get nipples and titties and pussies and shit.
So, but then they fight?
Yeah, they fight. And then
you. How do you score them?
You have a pimp, which is the commander of your broads.
So are you the pimp?
You can be the pimp if you want to, but the pimp is like a card. Like, you get different pimp cards to boost your hookers. And when the hookers fight, they're not necessarily just fighting the hookers.
Are they?
They're also fighting the pimps.
So, like, when you determine who wins?
The person with the least amount of pimp hit points. Like, if you defeat the pimp, you win.
So, okay, but how do you determine who's the most, like, powerful? Is it by attractiveness?
No, it'll be written on the cards, like, how many hit points they have or their special pimp powers or hooker powers. And you can charge them up, boost them up with, like, hooker weapons like stilettos and those little tassels that they put on their nipples and weird shit like that or dildos or horse cocks.
They have, like, toys.
Yeah, they can have toys or hooker apparel.
Do you
apparel.
Get, like chance cards, like in Monopoly, that you can power up things, or?
No, it'll be on your turn. You can choose to spend your points that you have accumulated for that turn to then play a card like add hooker armor to your hooker, or like a pimp cane to your pimp, so your pimp can do damage to the hookers or the other pimp.
And so who is this directed at? This is directed at nerdy fellas.
Yeah.
Who are going to play card games.
Well, think about it. Most of the players that grew up with Magic when it first came out or Pokemon or the
they
WoW.
They had boners for the Magic gals because they were scantily clad like ninjas and stuff.
Yeah, but now we're just removing all of that. We're just naked ladies and pimps.
Just naked ladies.
Yeah. And then the hookers, they fight the other hookers or they fight the other pimp for the pimp. The pimp is the commander. And when the commander goes down, the game's over. You lost.
So, but the problem, I think, is there's no fantasy in it. It's just like.
Sure it is. Pimps and hookers fighting each other? That never happens in real life.
But it does. Don't you think that they're buying into the whole mythology of the magic thing and they're like into wizards and shit? I mean, I don't think they are into it. Because,
well, they're into it because they're nerds. I guarantee you, all of them look at pornography.
Yeah.
And it's probably mostly, you know, males. So, right. I mean, people.
So it's like mixing it the other way. Instead of making, like, porn parodies of these magic characters, you're bringing the porn to the game.
Yeah, which they already watch anyway. So there's already an established market. You have people who like to look at boobs, and people who like to play trading card games. Obviously, it's not for the whole family, But there are plenty of games out there that are like that, where it's not necessarily for young kids. It's for, you know, older folk.
Do you still do the Magic?
No, I want
to. You gave up on it?
A coworker tried to get me into Magic. I couldn't do it.
Oh, you do Pokemon?
No, I don't do Pokemon.
What either. Do you do? Because I know you went and did card game things.
I did the WoW trading card game before Blizzard killed it.
Oh, the WoW cards. That's right.
Yeah, but they killed that off, so I can't do it anymore.
So you didn't pick up another one? You just ended your card regime?
It was fun, and I liked it for what it was, but
I don't understand why you can't just still play the card game.
Well, each one of them's different, and they have a different appeal. Like, Pokemon is fun, and you can play the Pokemon trading card game online. You don't,
right?
You don't actually have to, you know, see real people
but
to play it.
Was the WoW card game, was it important that you continually buy the cards?
Yes.
I guess that's a good business model, is that you have to continually buy cards. It's like the Kim Kardashian app. I think like that game is like, to get to level 2, you have to give Kim Kardashian $2.
Yeah.
And then like you run around for a while, and then like to get to level 3, you have to give Kim Kardashian another $2.
That's fair.
It's like, do you want to level up? Give Kim Kardashian $2.
Yeah, I can see that working.
So that's kind of how this game is. It's just veiled better.
Yeah, we take the pretense off of it. There are already scantily clad ladies in every fucking game. Maybe not Pokemon, but, you know, Magic and fucking even Yu-Gi-Oh. There's scantily clad women in all of these fucking games. We're just removing the rest of the clothes. It'll be, you know, it won't be like photos, like photographs of actual
hookers.
So it's
going to be cartoons?
It can be. It can be like, you know, closer to real to life drawings, but it'll be art. And that's how we'll get around. Like, no, this is
art of like gals dildoing themselves?
No, they're not dildoing themselves. They're your hooker warriors.
Are they standing there like with their fists up? Like, we're going to fight?
Yeah. Think of like Heavy Metal. You remember Heavy Metal magazine with the broads that were all drawn up? Like they were, you know,
so
Amazon.
you're going to kind of fill the void of printed material that Playboy is.
No, the going Playboy with. Has actual, you know,
Playboy
photos.
Isn't going to have naked ladies in it anymore.
Why? What's the point?
They're going to go legit, and they're just going to be like a men's magazine like Maxim. This is very old news. How did you not see this news?
Cuz I don't care about Playboy.
Yeah, but
nobody
it was
does.
Like a national news story for like a big deal. I think they're done now. I think they're just doing a men's magazine without the nudity now.
That seems
so
dumb.
Now there isn't really a mainstream source of just nudity.
Well, the internet.
Yeah. But you got to think about those 60, 70-year-old guys who are getting Playboy in the mail every week. And
well, that's not probably going to be the target audience of 60,
right.
70-year-old dudes.
Right. Right. But you are filling a hole.
Well, sort of.
If you market it correctly.
I think
so. Isn't that always the key?
Well, marketing is everything. And, you know,
it's not word of mouth, is it? It's getting out there and being a whore.
Well, exactly. You got to be a whore for your whore game. I mean, who's going to promote you but you? See?
Right. You're right. You're right.
And people get pissed off about people who do the shameless self-promoting. But, I mean, are they going to, like, just hire somebody? Well, then that's the same thing as them doing it themselves.
Right.
So why bother?
And then what?
Well, you got to have a product.
Yeah.
I think this game would sell if you make it right. Got the proper rules. Got good artwork.
Are you actively pursuing this?
No.
Have you been contacting artists to draw your naked ladies and stuff?
No. But I should.
You
then
should.
Then I'm lazy.
What are you going to call it? Did you come up with a name for it? Pimps and Hoes? The card game?
Pimp Warriors.
Pimp Warriors. Maybe you could make it an app.
Oh, yeah, you could make it an app, and that would decrease the cost.
That's what the kids are into now, is the apps.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's something about holding a physical product in your hands that it's not the same as...
You're a traditional guy.
Yeah, I mean, I love the new Hearthstone game that replaced the WoW trading card game, but, I mean, it's not the same. You don't actually have any physical product. You have, you know, pictures on a computer.
See, but the app, you make the app... And then, I mean, like, you know, the cost goes into making the app, but then it's just like license to print money after that.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, like the physical card, you have to continuously make more cards.
Yeah, and they have to continuously buy them. And as long as you're making a good product, they're going to do it. But then again, you know, there's shipping, there's printing cost, there's all that upfront money that, you know, an application might have some, but probably won't have all that. And I'm betting it could sell. Just have like a fucking trading card game night at, you know, the strip clubs where people are already going to. And you can just have it distributed that way. You buy it at the strip club.
It's rare that you have an idea.
Do you think it's a good idea?
See, I want to shit on it just because you shit on all my ideas. But no, I think that it's a fine idea, Napes.
That's also a good idea. Anchor. We should call up Matt Reefer.
Matt Reefer doesn't talk to us anymore.
Oh, what did you do?
I don't think I did anything.
Why do you not think you did anything?
Well, I mean, I might have done something, but I don't remember.
Were you cordial?
I believe so. Weren't we cordial?
Well, I mean, I've
Napier,
been.
We have made and lost so many friends over the last 6 years, it's hard to even keep track of.
Why do you include me in we?
Because we are the collective. We are the show.
Yeah, but you piss people off more than I do.
People come and they go, Napier, but we are the constant. We're going to go take a little break now, I guess.
Because that sounds like a swell plan.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I mean, I appreciate you guys. I think you're all very handsome.
You know what we should do?
What's that?
Shout out on Twitter on how we can make this card game even better. Give us some pimp powers the pimps can have. Hooker powers for hookers.
Hashtag pimp power.
Hashtag, oh, that's a good name for the game. Pimp power.
Pimp power?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Dog eat dog. Strangelabel.com.
Hey, Mikey, go to the bathroom.
While the WFOD guys are off making stinky, we'd like to take this opportunity to entice you with an exclusive offer. Are you currently experiencing dissatisfaction with your defecation because you're wasting your time reading Facebook updates about your cousin's latest breakup? Did OP fail to deliver again? Are you experiencing gastrointestinal discontent because these precious porcelain moments are wasting your phone's battery life? Have you recently consumed Americanized Mexican food delivered to you via drive-thru window? We at Rocktown Press feel your pains and have personally handcrafted a solution for your water closet woes that can be discreetly delivered to your front door. New in 2015, Rocktown Press unveils the Taco Bell Survival Pack.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell.
For a mere $39.99 at rocktownpress.bigcartel.com, you get not one, not two, but three pieces of quality bathroom reading material, enough matches to cover the stink of 1,000 shits, and an emergency roll of toilet paper.
Say, what kind of toilet paper you got back there?
Two-ply, my friend, and only the best. But don't jump off the John just yet. Our managers have approved a very special offer for Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks listeners. Enter the promo code WFOD at checkout and receive 20% off your order at rocktownpress.bigcartel.com. It's not only good on the Taco Bell Survival Pack, but everything's site-wide. So head on over to rocktownpress.bigcartel.com, use the promo code WFOD, save some money, and make your next bathroom break complete with tales of underage drinking, suicide, prescription drug abuse, summer camp, journalism, celebrities, and more suicide.
I'm Charlie! Light a match!
Debbie just hit the wall, she never had it all. One Prozac a day, husband's a CPA. Her dreams went out the door, she turned 24. Only been with one man, what happened to her plan? She was gonna be an actress, she was gonna be a star. And she was gonna shake her ass on the hood of White Snake's car. Her yellow SUV is now the enemy. Looks at her average life, and nothing has been alright. such Bruce Springsteen, Madonna. Way before Nirvana, there was U2 and Blondie. Music still on MTV, her two kids in high school. They tell her that she's uncle. She's still preoccupied with 1985. 1985. She's seen all the classics, she knows every line. Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, even St. Elmo's Fire. She rocked out to Wham, not a big Limp Bizkit fan. Thought she'd get a hand on a member of Duran Duran. Where's the mini skirt made of snake skin? And who's the other guy that's singing in Van Halen? When did reality become TV? Whatever happened to sitcoms, game shows on the radio? Was Springsteen, Madonna, way before Nirvana. There was U2 and Blondie. Music still on MTV. Two kids in high school. They tell her that she's uncool.
Hello, and welcome back. Phone number to contact show 636-487-HAN or WFOD show on Skype. Our guest tonight is Grammy nominated musician, voiceover actor, and now podcaster, Jarrett Reddick. You can download past and present episodes of his show at JarrettGoesToTheMovies.com. Jarrett, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. You know, it never gets old hearing the Grammy-nominated things. Like, I feel like, and that sticks with me forever. It's like, doctor, I feel like I should be able to put that on my return address when I send mail.
Well, it's like, I mean, that's the big one, too. I mean, you know, you get fucking Golden Globe. Who gives a shit? But, you know.
Yeah, it's the biggie. It's, you know, the funny thing is, though, is I'm sort of Emmy-nominated, too, because the song won an Emmy, but the show got it. You know, like, the writer and performer don't get it. The show gets it. So,
well, that's bullshit.
Yeah, so
did you win, or you were nominated? Well,
yeah, Phineas and Ferb won.
So you did the theme song to that show?
Correct, yeah.
Napier, are you familiar with the Phineas and Ferb?
Not really, but I think my wife's sister, I think she probably watched it a lot.
Well, I mean, you can brag now. You're talking to the guy who made the theme song to that show.
Excellent.
That's right. Number one cartoon in the world for about 8 years. So, you know, that's
It's like it's a duck that solves crimes, right?
It is not a duck that solves crimes.
It's not a duck that solves crimes.
There's a platypus involved.
Oh, a platypus. Yeah, same thing, right?
I think you're thinking DuckTales or something crazy. I don't know what you're on, but it's a completely different show.
Oh, Duckman.
Duckman. And Darkwing Duck.
Sure.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
So you're the voice of Chuck E. Cheese, too, right?
I think it'd be funny if Duckman was just he wasn't a duck at all. He was just amazing at avoiding things that are being thrown at him.
Are you still the voice of Chuck E. Cheese also?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Now, how does that work exactly? Do they it's the same show everywhere, right? The Chuck E. Cheese show, and I mean, do you like record all your stuff in one day and then?
Yeah, pretty much. It's the same show in 540 restaurants. But is about five shows a year. So one for every season and then a holiday show. And it's one day you go in, they have it all scripted and which songs I'm going to sing mapped out, and we just knock it out.
Do you ever have like a responsibility to like put on the Chuck E. Cheese outfit and make personal appearances or something?
No, it's written strictly in my contract that I never have to put that thing on. So. But I can only imagine what young teenagers have done while wearing that thing. I don't want any part of that. So,
is that weird to think about that, like, right now you're performing in 500 pizza joints?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, that's okay. I mean, I guess I've sort of am used to that whole thing with just, like, being on the radio and on TV shows and stuff. But, I think it's just more the nostalgia of it, because I grew up going – my grandparents had a Chuck E. Cheese, and that's where I spent my summers, and in Lawton, Oklahoma. And so I got to go there, you know, once a week sometimes, and I absolutely loved that, the animatronics and stuff like that as a kid. And, you know, it's obviously changed as far as the way that it's set up and who they're catering to this day and age. But still, I mean, in all honesty, it's the coolest job ever, because, you know, it'd be like anything else. If, you know, to me, it's like I'm the voice of Mickey Mouse or something.
Right.
It's that big.
You know, it's weird because I imagine that the majority of your podcast listeners probably followed you from one of the other. I mean, you've been in music for 20 years, I think I read somewhere.
Yeah, 22 Bowling for Soup's been together. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like a lot of my projects are things where somebody has found me in one place and sort of followed me
to other places,
to another place. And, you know, it's not a perfect, there's no perfect, there's no perfect way to, there's no formula, you know, just because I'm in other bands too.
Yeah.
None of them are near as successful as Bowling for Soup. And I mean, not even a fraction. So, you know, it's definitely not one of those things where every single person likes everything that I do, but I think that's okay. It's nice to just be able to go out there and do different things. And the podcast thing is something I got into a long time ago before I even knew what a podcast was. And
yeah.
I would just press record and talk for 2 hours, and I didn't edit it or anything. I just put it out. And, you know, it got really popular, and I kind of quit doing it. And now I have a partner, Rich, who is kind of keeps me on track and sticking to the formula and sticking to an actual schedule. And it's a lot of fun, and it's fun to have somebody to help do some of the work too. So I'm really enjoying it. We're doing ET this week, and so – you know, that's another cool aspect of my podcast. My podcast is essentially, for the listeners who are listening, is it's called Jarrett Goes to the Movies, and I basically just watch a movie and then talk about it.
Right.
That's it. And
and it's fine. And where I was going was that I was going to say I'm probably one of the rare people that found your podcast, and then like the podcast is interesting, Napes, because kind of what happens is they start talking about like Back to the Future. And like, they're like, you know, they're talking about specific things about Back to the Future. And then like Jarrett, you know, mentions, oh yeah, by the way, I got in a bar fight, with Gavin DeGraw. Yeah. And it's like, it's very, I guess ADD would be the best way to describe it because it kind of goes off the rail. I'm not going to go and say, oh, it's similar to this show, but you know, we tend to stray from maybe our initial topic.
I'm definitely one of those ones. It's hard for me to. I mean, and so even Bowling for Soup shows. I mean, I'll start talking about something in between songs, and 10, 15, 20 minutes later, we're off on something completely different. And we realize we haven't played a song in a while. Like,
oh, so, hey, but man, maybe play another song. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that does that conversation happens from time to time. But but yeah, I mean, that's just it. We do end up going off, and it leads into a lot of. Again, nostalgia things and, you know, things that people that I've met along the way in my career and yada yada. So it's more than just about the movie, but eventually, you know, we do end up talking about that. So I've been having a lot of fun doing it, and it's definitely something that I want to grow and keep doing.
It's not hard to do.
No, it's because it's fun. It's essentially, you know, it's my friend Rich and I. Just met about a year ago. And when we first met, I could not stand the guy. I mean, I literally could not stand him. And it's cause he's completely different from me. I'm like the nicest person you will ever meet. And I would never say anything, even if it were true, to hurt anybody's feelings or whatever. But he's completely just honest all the time. And just, it's like, he's the guy that is like, if a girl is like, does this shirt make me look fat? He will just go, yes, it does. You know? And it's like, so, and again, he likes completely different stuff than I do. So I think it's a good dynamic, and it makes it fun for me too, because, you know, anytime somebody's opinion differs from mine, I think it's hilarious. And it leads down that path a lot of times.
Well, nobody wants to listen to an agreement show where everybody's just happy with each other. Like, yeah, good idea, man. That's awesome.
Man, you're so right too, and you know that's just it. It's like even doing interviews with my bandmates sometimes. You know they've heard me answer the questions, these same questions so many times. A lot of times, then they'll sort of get in and start answering them the way that I would answer them, and that just gets weird. You know, it's like get out of my head. And it's because, you know, again, it's been a long time.
So you like tour the country and do like the morning zoo and. Cincinnati, and then you go do the same show in Cleveland, and they say, "So, where did you get the name Bowling for Soup?"
You're exactly right. Yeah, it's that, and it's funny because it's, you know, I don't know, man. It's like to be honest, it's like you can only be asked, you know, the har-har factor of being asked what my favorite soup is like, it's sort of long past, but I don't want to be a dick about it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, 22 years of something.
Now I really want to know what his favorite soup is.
Yeah, right. Well, it's minestrone, which I consider more of a stew, but, you know, it's delicious.
It's like meatballs, isn't it?
No, minestrone is like an Italian soup. It's like what you would get like as an appetizer at a nice Italian restaurant. It's a lot of vegetables and sometimes it can have meat in it, but it's mostly like an Italian vegetable soup. It's freaking good, especially if you don't feel well.
Have you guys ever tried to do the psychic question thing where you write down what you think that the people in the morning zoo are going to ask you, see how close you can get?
We have, but actually the funny thing is that we when we really started to do this a lot, we had a game where we could never answer the "where did you get the name Bowling for Soup" question the same way. So once you did it one way, you had to make up a completely different answer.
And that's how legends are made,
dude. We did it for years. Years we did that, and you know, then you just sort of find yourself wanting to play a different game. And but I mean, those questions are so. It is the same. So we've talked about not going someday and just sending our crew because they've heard us answer the questions so much they can just answer them for us. And we thought it'd be funny to say, "Hey, Jarrett's Guitar Tech is here. Okay, where did they get the name? Okay, well, they got it off of a Steve Martin album."
You could probably just pre-record like an answer pack and do way more press. Like just send it to everyone and say, "This is your exclusive interview with Bowling for Soup."
It's actually a genius idea. You just pre-record all the answers and send them what the questions are because they edit their voices to make them sound more slick anyway. And so, you know, but they never try to make the artist sound more slick. So that would actually be really funny.
I sent an email to the Silver Sun Pickups and they sent me something similar. They're like, "No, we're not going to do the show. However, you know, this is us introducing our new single, if you'd like to play our new single." And I guess that's better than like a straight up no, but at the same time.
Yeah, that's better than go fuck yourself. But at the same time, it's like, it is very much like, we don't have time, but if you want to promote our band.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I don't know. I don't know that I really have that in me. You know, I think, you know, I mean, I guess we're guilty of that in that, like, you know, radio stations that we haven't visited will used to get, not anymore, but I mean, back in the day when we were on the radio all the time, you know, they would get us to pre-record liners or record liners. So, you know, you're listening to the Morning Zoo with Stiff and Amy, and, you know, and then, you know, and I'm Jarrett and this is my favorite morning show and I'm going through Boise, Idaho. And, so in a way, I guess that's some sort of the same thing.
Yeah, and then they play it every now and then, and you're like, "Oh yeah."
Have you ever been actually surprised by a question like, "What's your blood type?"
Yeah, I mean those are always kind of fun. I think the more interesting interviews in the past are just ones where that, you know, you feel like they actually did a little bit of homework and found something that you're interested in and kind of go out on, you know, and I don't know. It feels good as an artist to know that someone actually took the time to prepare. And again, I don't really care that much.
Right, right.
It does make it for a more interesting morning and make you feel a little bit better about waking up at 6:45 after
not doing the same damn thing over and over again. You're being engaged in some way.
Yeah, you know, and to me, I think it makes it for more. I guess we talk about this one all the time. So that we, you know, the small town radio back, and again, even before we were on radio, so we would be super excited just to be having a show in a certain town and be invited in to talk on the radio. And I remember one specifically, the DJ opens up and he's just like, "You know, here we are, you're listening to such and such here in Abilene, Texas. And we've got our good friends Bowling for Soup in the studio. So you guys, you're in town.
Please carry our show for the next half hour."
I'm like, and so I'm just like, "Was that the, are you, yes?
So you're in town."
"Was that the, so you're in town," was his opening question.
And nope.
At that point, I'm just like, you know, okay, this is.
This is going to be rough.
My dogs are fighting in the background.
Oh, yeah?
I just hit him with the spray bottle.
That's what. So, right? What do you have, like, a set day that your episodes come out?
Yeah, we release them on Thursday nights so that morning commuters have them on the app or in their iTunes on Friday morning. It goes through Podbean, but like you said, you can find all the outlets on JarrettGoesToTheMovies.com. But yeah, Thursday nights, we record them on Tuesday, get the artwork. We do artwork for each show that's based upon the actual movie poster. And so that comes out, and then yeah, they're uploaded Thursday nights and out Friday morning for that commuter. If you know, if somebody's driving on the weekend or whatever, and then do it all again the next week. I'm actually about to start touring again in February, and so we're gonna have to kind of get a few in the can.
So you're gonna pre-record a bunch of them so that you can keep up with your schedule.
Gonna have to get two or three for sure. I mean, I like keeping them current because a lot of times you sound like you've listened before. I mean, we will go into a current event every once in a while, so you know, I don't want to get too comfortable with you know, having them you know, in the can. But you know, there's nothing I can really do about it because I'm going to be in a whole other country. So and it's 6 hours ahead of him. So really doing them while over there is not going to be the easiest thing.
And, yeah, it's Jarrett Goes to the Movie. I do recommend it, guys, because it's a movie show, but it's kind of not really a movie show. It is a movie show, but it's not just a movie show.
and, you know, to your point, you don't necessarily have to be a Bowling for Soup fan or like the music that I very seldom even really talk about it. So unless it's like someone that I've met along the way or whatever, right. Which those stories are usually pretty interesting just because it's, if I'm going to tell it, obviously it was worth me using the air to say it. But, yeah, I mean, I think people will dig it. I've started to listen to more podcasts, you know, here and there. I mean, I'm still sort of stuck in the Howard Stern world. So I listen to that while I'm driving a lot. But you know, I'm starting to understand the whole podcast world a little bit more, and it's pretty cool, man. I mean, I like the fact that someone who, you know, and you guys doing this internet show, I love it, man. I love the fact that someone has a cool idea and can just get out there and do their show, and people can listen and interact, and it's, you know, it's, things have come a long way in the last few years, that's for sure.
And then, like, after you do it for a while, you have like this probably unnecessary superiority complex where you get mad at other people for trying to do it and thinking
yeah,
that,
oh, I'm sure.
Well, fuck this guy. He thinks he can do what I do, but anybody can probably.
You know what? I think that's like that in anything, though. I mean, it's funny because I, you know, there's a little bit of that when you're, you know, I mean, for us, I guess we sort of deserve it, but we're credited as being the, you know, some of the pioneers of pop punk. And, you know, we hold that badge of honor, you know, in high regard, but, you know, there was a little, I would say that we probably there was a bit of time where sort of the new group was coming up, you know, and it's just like, God damn it. They're just doing exactly what we used to do. That's our shit, you know? But, you know, I don't know. You just sort of have to let that shit roll off because it really doesn't do you any good. And it's definitely not good for the industry for anybody. I think it benefits everybody, you know, when things start to get to are popularized and even and because it just allows more access to everyone. So there's plenty of people out there to listen to plenty of podcasts.
Napier, a funny thing I saw that Bowling for Soup did that I just wanted to mention because it's funny. When I was doing my research on Jarrett and trying to, you know, not be shitty, I saw that they recorded Fountains of Wayne's Stacy's Mom.
Yeah.
And on the album cover, it says, Fountains or Stacy's Mom, because people think that we did it anyway, so we might as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So for years and years, I mean, and it happens to me at least once a week. It'll be like something where I'm at karate with my son, or you know, dance with my daughter, and someone will be like, "Hey, I heard you're in Bowling for Soup." And, yes, I am. And you just kind of know it's either going to be one thing or the other. And very often it's, man, I love Stacey's that song, Stacey's Mom, or I am Stacey's Mom. And I'll be like, oh, you have a daughter named Stacey? That's a lovely name.
Do you know those guys?
I do. I know them really well, actually. I've written with Adam many times.
Yeah.
And we wrote we have a Bowling for Soup song called High School Never Ends that he and I wrote together.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I know them really well. So I actually wanted to do a sort of like a duet thing where we do a song called Stacy's Mom in 1985. Just sort of like just describe what her life was like back then. But they take themselves really seriously. Adam, not so much, but the band takes themselves pretty seriously, and they're busy. So
they're like, they're very protective of the art that is Stacy's Mom.
They are, but you know, the funny thing is I did it and, you know, I sort of did it as one of those things where I'm just like, and I told him I was going to do it. I'm just like, this is silly. Like everybody thinks we did this and, you know, and they're searching Bowling for Soup, Stacy's Mom. If you search Stacy's Mom, like at this was before we recorded it, but the second thing that came up was Bowling for Soup on Google and before we ever even touched it. And so I recorded it and we sold 8,000 downloads just on iTunes alone that December.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So, I mean, it's money in their pocket too.
Sure.
They still own the song. I just own the master. So they get publishing every time somebody buys it or whatever.
You just filled that demand for Bowling for Soup, Stacy's Mom.
Too. Adam Schlesinger is the songwriter for the band, and he's the bass player. And he goes, I sent it to him after we did it, and he goes, and this is a quote from him. I didn't say this, but he goes, it's so cool to hear our song where the vocals are in tune. I got to kick out of that.
Well, Jarrett, thank you so much for doing this. Again, JarrettGoesToTheMovies.com. Go there, check out the back episodes. ET dropping Thursday.
Yep, and guys, thanks for reaching out to me. I really enjoyed it, and would love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. Next time,
we'll have you guys sit in on a. We're starting to do some Google Hangouts and stuff like that, and gonna start putting people in our podcast. So maybe I can return the favor.
Sounds great. Awesome. Yeah, again, appreciate it, Jarrett, and we'll catch you later on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Take it easy. Drunk.
Hello.
Drunk, you're here.
I'm here.
The real star of the show has arrived. Guys, again, JarrettGoesToTheMovies.com. I rarely find a podcast that I enjoy, but I think they have 10 episodes out. I listened to all 10 of them in the last couple of days because they're a lot of fun.
Which one do you recommend? Like, which movie were they going on about?
They do, like, pretty universal movies. Like, you know, like movies that everybody has seen, like Star Wars and Back to the Future. And I listened to Fight Club the other day, and I remember Fight Club was a lot of fun.
Now, are these current movies that are coming out?
They talk about movies that everyone has already seen. Like, he just said they're doing E.T. this week.
Excellent.
I mean, it's like everybody's seen E.T. But really, if you haven't even seen the movie, which, I mean, there hasn't been a case where it's been a movie I haven't seen. It's sort of about movies, but not really. It's a good show. I enjoyed it. And Jarrett was fun to talk to.
You know what they should do?
Jarrett made it easy. Thanks for your help, by the way, Napier. You're always so good at these.
Exactly. That's why I get these together for you. Why I keep contacting folks to get people on here.
Drunk. Are you a fan of the Bowling for Soup?
Yeah, that Stacy's Mom song is awesome.
Well, he's right. Just
he is. We didn't get to it last week because we did the Hollywood Fantasy Draft. I wanted to tell you, we took my niece to the Sears a couple days before Christmas, right? And we were taking
is this the big Sears or the hardware-only Sears?
Drunk. Does what Sears it is really add any? It was a Sears just for context.
Some Sears are like Kmart, and some Sears are just like hardware stores.
I'm going to tell you what Sears. It was the Sears on Mid Rivers Mall Drive.
All right,
so you take Highway 70, right? You get off at Mid Rivers Mall. You just pull right in. The Sears is going to be like on the far.
But you know, Sears like not all Sears are the same.
Yeah, it's kind of by the Chili's. But, like, you know, like, it's kind of around the corner from the Chili's.
And it's
so like,
that,
if you see Chili's, you're in the right direction, but you're going to want to go past Chili's.
But you understand that not all the Sears are the same.
Well, of course. But, I mean, it's by the store that's Slackers, but not Slackers.
Yeah. What is that place called? This is important to the story, Drunk.
I keep forgetting it's like
V-stock. Yeah, they have like used V-stock. That's it. They have like used books and shit.
And
I think it used to be a Barnes & Noble's, and they closed it, and then they just made it like a different kind of Barnes & Noble. They were like, oh, this business model failed. So anyway, we go to the Sears, right? Because we were taking back my niece's jacket because it was too small. She's a young child. She grows quickly. She outgrew the jacket in the time it took to ship it to her.
Okay.
And so we go to get the jacket, and she goes, I want to go to Sears. We're like, there's nothing interesting at Sears. It's a fucking department store. You don't need to go to Sears.
Well, maybe she's into stoves.
But I want to go to Sears. And I was like, no, you're not going to fucking Sears. And she goes, but I want to go to Sears. And I'm like, fine, get in the car. We'll take you to Sears. But then you're coming right back home. Of course, that didn't happen. We spent the whole day with her going all over the goddamn tarnation trying to find the pie face game. But that's a story for a different time. We go to Sears, right? We're taking back a jacket. And we go up to the counter. Laura's talking to the gal trying to return the jacket. And this bitch, you know what she says?
What's that?
She fucking says, oh, did you guys go visit Santa?
Oh, no.
And no, you know what, Napier? We had not gone and visited Santa.
That wasn't in the game plan, was it?
No, it wasn't. We were going to Sears.
So Santa was there after the holiday?
No, this was before the holiday. It's just this story's a couple weeks old, but I need to talk about it. It's important.
Okay.
So we go visit Santa.
How long did that take?
Now, it says, Napier, on the sign at the end of the line, visits with Santa, always welcome. However, if you'd like one of the photo packages, they're available, right? So they have a variety of photo packages starting at $24 for 2 4x6 photographs.
Can't you just do the same on your phone?
You can't. They have signs up explicitly telling you you cannot take pictures with your phone.
Well, fuck them. I'd do it anyway.
Yeah, so you get the $24 package of pictures with Santa Claus. And then, see, over to the side, they say you can get a digital code to just get it yourself for $8. And I'm thinking to myself, I know we're going to end up having to purchase these photographs of this child with Santa Claus.
Well, you have to. It's special.
As soon as I saw the sign, I knew I was going to be paying to have pictures with Santa Claus.
Well, who asked for it? The lady wife or the...
Well, I think that she kind of got in her head that if, like, Grandma and Mom were to find out, and of course they would...
Of course,
that
yeah.
she met Santa Claus for the first time, they would want some kind of documentation of that, correct?
Oh, God, yeah. First time meeting Santa, you have to.
So we go through the line, and I'm thinking, okay, we'll just get the digital code, right, for $8. I mean,
and you can just give that out.
$8 is a lot for a digital code, but it's way better than $24, right?
Yeah, you can print it out at your house. Everybody's got a printer.
The $8 digital code, Napier, can only be added on to one of the other packages.
Oh, of course. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it?
It's a fleecing is what it is.
So you go up there and you're like, oh, I'll take one digital code, please.
Yeah, and she said, no. Digital code can only be added on to an existing package. That was never the case, though, was it? They're taking your cute children hostage, is what they're doing.
So what did you tell the lady?
They're using your child's cuteness as a money-making scheme.
Well, they're at the mall. I mean, what...
That was never a thing, was it?
Yeah, you could. I don't think you could ever take pictures of your kids on Santa. I think they always had like some elf lady with a camera.
It's just a thing that I'm now. I thought that like just going and visiting Santa was meant as a way to get you into the mall.
No,
like the mall
always cost money.
It was always money.
Always cost money.
Yeah, your parents didn't mention that to you because then you'd become a cynical shithead.
By the way, Michael.
The picture with you and Santa cost me $30. That's two less Christmas presents for you.
I have photographs of me with Santa that I believe were just like a Polaroid picture.
That's what they all were. And then you hand him money.
I feel, well, Was that like an event?
I mean,
school?
Like to print out 2 4x6 photos on photo paper maybe costs them $1.
Yeah, probably.
So $24 is a bit much.
Yeah, but
so did you buy the?
We did.
So you bucked up,
right? You have to.
So did you go with the minimum?
I did.
Did you get the digital code?
Got the 2 4x6s. I did not get the digital code. I scanned that bitch, drunk. I fucking scanned it.
Yeah, but it's not going to look as nice as that.
I just feel that it's just yet another attack on us.
No, it's always been there. You just weren't told about it. It was never what you thought it was.
Is anything what I thought it was?
Probably not. It's time to become a nihilist.
Like, when you become a man, you learn that everything
is shit.
Is a lie.
So before we move on from the taking pictures with Santa real fast.
Did you have a taking pictures with Santa story?
Sure, kind of. Did you get DJ Pauly Deuce Knuckles' Christmas card?
I did not, drunk.
Oh,
I'm not.
It was the funniest one
of the
year.
I'm not on Paul's Christmas card list.
So... on this Christmas card, it is the creepiest.
Drunk, how do I get on Paul's Christmas card list?
I'll tell him that you. I'll tell his wife that you need to be your address.
Do you think they have any extra Christmas cards laying around that they can mail me?
I think they do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, mail me a post-Christmas card.
There you go. So anyway, it's the creepiest Santa you've ever seen in your entire life. And his little, I don't know, he's not even 2 yet, is just crying and bawling and swinging his arms at the fucking camera. And it says, Merry Christmas from the Godalas.
How come Paul never comes over and does the show anymore?
I don't know.
He doesn't like you. You're not on his Christmas list.
Do you call Paul to ask him to come over?
See, that's another example, Napier, of like friends that we've lost along the way.
Well, what do you mean lost? When do you call him?
I don't.
So you don't engage with him?
I do this show every week. He knows when the show is.
It's an hour a week. There are many more hours that you could say, hey, Paul, what's going on? How's family?
I do know that he has recently gotten a new job.
Drunk, how often do you guys hang out? How come you never call me to hang out? Drunk, we see each other every week. How come you don't ever call me to go do something on a different day? Are we not friends, Drunk?
I did try to go hang out with you at the food place before a hockey game one time, but something came up and I couldn't.
Something more important came up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we not friends?
We're great friends, Mike.
Are we just like show people?
Mike, everybody is a
show. Is this just
friend.
A job to
I'm,
you, bro?
I'm your co-host.
Do you have no true passion for this?
No, absolutely. I have a true passion for this. This is why I come in every week. Do I have a true passion for you? Maybe not.
You're making that sad face, but how often have you ever invited him?
I mean, you walked right into it. Yeah. I mean, he does. I will give him this. He does invite me to eat at the place before hockey often.
I think Mike invites me to things that
but
he knows
I do
I'm
also have
no
wiffle
to.
Ball the same day he has hockey, so.
I invite you to things I know you're going to say no to because you say no to everything. So anything I invite you to, I know you're going to say no to.
So the only reason you invite me there is so I can feel like a shithead.
Do I have any real friends?
That's a personal question that you need to think about overnight.
I'm sure your
bed.
Lady's your friend, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you know, we're like sexual partners, though.
Yeah, I guess you got to be pretty friendly.
You can
friendly
be sexual
for
partners
it.
And friends, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So we're not like friends?
Of course we're friends, Mike. Come
like, if
now.
You got married, would you invite me to your wedding?
I absolutely would.
You would?
I invited you to mine. Are you going to invite me to yours?
I signed your thing.
Yeah, you did.
I'm like the guy on record that signed your thing.
Yeah, Mike's signed a document for me.
You want
to
know why I was probably the one that signed the thing?
You went to Paul's wedding too,
I was the only one not in a t-shirt and jeans.
I would have not been. I remember that conversation.
I don't know why you weren't.
I would not have been in a t-shirt and jeans either.
Napier left out the casual part of my
I totally would have had like a tie. I would have been the most dressed there.
I think he just did it to goof on me.
Yeah.
I thought we had that conversation.
I would have been
going to be a
tied up,
event.
Slacks, fucking, I'd have been
so
nines.
Why didn't you invite Drunk to your wedding? You see Drunk every week.
It was a daytime wedding on like a Tuesday.
It was a Monday.
It was a Monday dog park.
I work on Mondays.
We didn't invite a shit ton of people.
I work on Mondays too, Drunk. I took the day off to go be at my friend's wedding.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that I do training at work. Like when new people come in, I do the whole, oh, this is how this is done kind of bullshit. And my wife does the same thing whenever they need somebody to do
I mean, like on a
training.
On like a Friday night, you're hanging out at the bar, you're drinking your vodkas. How come you don't ever like text your buddy Mike and say, "Hey, come have a vodka with me"?
Well, I actually just drink at home. If you want to come check out my new house, you're more than welcome.
Drink at drunk's house.
Invite me to your house, drunk. Okay. I mean, not tonight.
I've invited Mike to my house several times.
I've been to Napier's house.
Just once.
I got a nice house.
He's painting all the walls blue.
I got a pool table and a pool in my backyard and a foosball.
Are you done painting all your walls blue?
No, we still have the hallway to do.
Did you see your niece on Christmas?
Yes.
Did you get her a gift card?
Yes.
You got her a gift card. You got like a 2-year-old a gift card?
No, I got my sister a gift card to buy things for her.
From Babies R Us?
Yeah, probably. Wherever.
Like, does the baby open the gift card?
No.
So was it a collective gift for both of them?
No, I think my wife made her like a baby blanket. Like, she hand-knit a baby blanket for the baby.
A handmade present?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean...
Dude, I hooked my fucking nephew up. So.
Oh, yeah, and we got her, like, outfits. We went to the Blues game and we bought little hockey outfits.
So I read this thing the other day about a... there's this book... It's been out a while. I think it came out in like 2008, and it's called The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian, was the name of the book. And there's this town in Idaho that had a group of 10th graders, and this wasn't like required reading, but like it was on a list of like 10 books.
It was just in the mix.
It was one of 10 books that were... So I guess it was required reading because there was 10 books that you could choose from, and this was one of the 10.
Well, you didn't. It's not required if you don't have to specifically read that book. They could have picked a different book.
So there was a couple of parents that got wind of this book and I guess felt like they should pre-screen it before their children read it.
No, that's fine. I mean, that's...
And
that's reasonable.
Granted, these are 10th graders. So 10th graders are 16.
Not reading that book.
So, yeah, I mean, 10th graders are 1 year away from being able to be admitted into R-rated movies.
Yeah, or the Army.
Or the... right. So I got this book because I was curious what was in this book that freaked out these Idaho parents. And I mean, like, it's a book. Did I tell you the name of the book?
Yes.
The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. I think he said shit twice.
Indian like dad or Indian like feather?
It's like feather. Indian. And I mean, it's the story of like a Indian kid who goes to a white high school.
That's it.
And he has a rough time because people don't like that this Indian kid is going to this white high school.
Why do they give a shit?
I don't know.
That seems weird.
So, I mean, this book has won like a national book award. It's like it has a certain level of esteem if it's like one of 10 books on a school curriculum, you know? I mean,
and won awards, so
it's not like, you know, it's not like a Debbie Does Dallas, the novel.
Yeah, it's not an R-rated book.
So these parents petition and they go to the school board and they say, "You got to take this book off the list. We don't want our kids reading this book because it makes mention to the kid masturbating, not like in detail, but he says that he masturbates, and he says the word shit." And he's basically, you know, talking about things that kids that age are probably curious about. And
are probably
about.
Already doing.
Right. And so they win. And the school tells these kids, you know, "Hey, guys, you don't forget this book." Now there's 9 books you have to choose from. Now, Napier, you're a 16-year-old kid.
Yep.
I tell you, "Hey, you're no longer allowed to read this book."
I'm going to want to know what the fuck is in that book.
You're going to read that book, right?
Yep.
Because you want to know what's in it.
I'm going to do that in my spare time. I'm going to read one book and that book because fuck you.
So it very much had the opposite effect. So they get 350 signatures on this petition, which, you know, 350 16-year-old signatures is basically worth jack shit.
Exactly.
But, you know, these kids say, we really want to read this book. And a bookstore takes it upon themselves to have a Kickstarter campaign where they raise the money to buy 350 copies of this book to give to the kids who sign this petition for free because their curious little minds want to read it, and by God, they should read it.
I bet they were rather disappointed.
That they got it for free?
No, that there's nothing in there that is...
It's, yeah, I mean, like, I listened to, like, maybe five chapters of it, and it... I mean, it was fine, but I don't think I'm in the intended audience for it. I was listening to it to, like, hear if there was something, like, really crazy about it.
Nothing.
And there wasn't. It was the story of an Indian kid who got picked on at his Indian school and went to a white guy school.
I feel like in grade school I was reading books with the N-word in it.
Yeah, Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, or whatever.
Yeah.
It has the N-bomb in it like...
A million times.
300 times.
Oh, I love that conversation with the teacher. I did. Now, kids, this was a different time.
Right, right.
Don't go using these words.
I remember we read that book in my 10th grade English class, and we read it out loud. We took turns reading it out loud, and then, like, the teacher would take a turn, and we would just kind of go around, and each person would read, like, a page, and then the next person would read a page. And she told us, if you want to say the word because it's in the book, you can, but if you don't feel comfortable, you can skip it.
Oh, God, I would make sure this was planned out, that the skinniest and whitest of people in there would always get the chapter with the most N-words in it. Every time.
So I think everyone in the class skipped it. Because, you know, my school was like 50% black, and it would be a bad idea to say it.
Well, yeah. It's not a nice word to say.
But the teacher, she would say it. And every time she would say it, there was this one black girl that sat in the very front, and every time she said it, she goes, like that.
Well, she wasn't talking to her.
She was, like, audibly doing that every time the word was used.
Was the teacher Caucasian?
Yes. So what happened was...
Really, would it have made a difference if she was black? Like, it wouldn't have been awkward?
A woman called the police on the bookstore for giving the book away for free. And the police arrived to the bookstore and, like, didn't really know what to do.
Because it's not illegal.
Be like, oh, so this bookstore is giving kids books?
Should have been like, what is this, Lady of the USSR? Jesus.
No, I could understand if it was, like, you know, a really hard R kind of book.
Right.
Like, if they were giving away 50 Shades of Grey to, like, you know, third graders, maybe that's not a good idea.
But this is just like we're bubble wrapping our world.
Well, and it's an acclaimed book, you said, right?
Right.
So I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah.
The whole Northwest is just going crazy right now.
Everybody needs their safe space where only kind words are used.
Yeah, because then, like, the militia just take over the, like, Oregon State House or something like that.
I don't know that.
I don't know.
I heard something about it on the radio.
Is it a militia today when it's, like, 40 drunk rednecks?
Yeah,
that's not really a militia, right?
I don't know. They called themselves the Oregon Militia, and they took over the State House or something. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that was a title they gave themselves.
Them's white people crazy.
Yeah.
Well, how do you form them? Is it like forming a union? Like, if you have like five cards, then you're a union?
You draw up like some kind of charter, you know, like a Moose Lodge or something like that. And then you assign people ranks based on how much beer they can drink. You know, something fucking stupid like that.
So I've learned all kinds of things. I've learned how you can form a militia, what that soup was, Stromboli?
Yeah.
And Phineas and Ferb is not about a duck that solves crimes.
It's a platypus.
And Bowling for Soup did not sing Stacy's Mom.
They did sing Stacy's Mom.
They didn't sing Stacy's Mom.
But they're not the original artist.
Gotcha.
Guys, I mean, we've learned a lot. We've had a good time. Things have happened. It's been a whole deal. Hopefully Travis will be back next week. One could hope. Right?
Yeah. Do you think he's having an interview with another band or another podcast?
Do I think that like Travis is trying to find his way out?
Committing podultery, if you will.
Yeah, he
podultery.
Podultery.
Did you see a picture of him today? Maybe he gussied himself up, had a Skype call with another podcast. Yeah, he's fishing around for better offers.
He's trying to get off this sinking ship.
Oh yeah, he smelled where that was coming from.
You know, in 2015, Napier, we did 56 shows. We're a weekly show that did more than 52 shows. We did pretty good. I mean,
I think so.
Compared to past years where we've shit off and skipped weeks, we were pretty consistent.
Yeah, what's the lowest we had in the year? Like 40-something?
I think there was years that we did 10.
Yeah, we took a pretty good chunk off for a while.
But our download numbers continue to climb. I'm still...
So there are more bots on the internet. Hell yeah.
I'm still enjoying doing the show. I hope that you guys are too, even though we're not friends.
Should we call our followers members of the Dick Army?
The Dick Army is strong, Napier. From all the analytics that I can see.
From tip to shaft.
I'm
to
just
nut.
Saying...
We can't call them like the Dickies or something?
The state of the dick is strong.
Even though after we finish this, Mike's going to be like, that was the biggest turd you ever heard in my life.
Nah, this one was okay.
Yeah, this one wasn't too bad. We actually had a guest that was engaging and fun.
We have a guest next week, too.
Let's hope it goes as well. Maybe.
Let's hope Mike makes it go as well.
Now Travis will be here. He'll save everything.
There you go.
Guys, thanks for being with us.
We love all of you.
We'll do it again next week. What is it that Stan Lee says? Excelsior?
Yeah,
love you, mom. Love you, dad.
Well, that's my mama.
You to know it's over.
Well, bye.
it's Napier. Listen live every Monday at 9, 8 Central. Download past episodes at WFODix.com, just in case you didn't get enough of this. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter at symbol WFODix. Follow Drunk at symbol DrunkardSTL or Travis at Produce Travis. Get on Facebook.com and then type in WFODix. Email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. We're not going to listen to any of your suggestions, but we will accept praise and or titty pics. And if you're a fan of Mike, just send him feet. I mean, why do you give a shit? It's feet pics.
I like feet.
Yeah, he likes feet. Send him some feet pics. You don't give a shit. Send him some fucking feet pics. Blam!
Hi, this is Brian,
Nikki,
Joe,
and Christopher from Silver Sun Pickups. This song, Nightlight, it's a very devilish song. It's sort of about a fascination with the fact that there are people that all they really want is something that should easily be thought of as equality. And so this song is a little bit of a play up on the fact that people tend to demonize these things. So I kind of had this idea of giving into what they think we are. Well, we're coming for you. And if you think that, well, then we will.
Why,